talking of the specter of 800 million Chinese 20 years from now with nuclear weapons, isolated from the rest of the world, isolating from the Soviet Union, with Japan sitting there and the rest. What are we going to do? We can't let that happen. And that's why we're moving. I can do this. This is one thing that I, as an old red baiter and so forth, can get away with. I can do it, and I have been able to do it without having too much opposition stirred up from people. But we're moving again here. Why? Not because we're naive about what the Chinese people want. They want Asia, if not the world. But because we know that our interests and theirs require that we find a way to live and let live in the Pacific. So we're moving carefully. We're moving having in mind the rights, responsibility, our treaty obligations to Taiwan. It's a very tough road. But we're moving quite deliberately with these things in mind. Now, we come to where it all means to you. Let us look forward 3, 4, 5 years. Let us suppose we do have a arms agreement, maybe interim, maybe going to temporal burden. So let us suppose we do have an opening to China with the Chinese coming into the United States. And also, let us point out, I don't know, a fact that then overseas Chinese, and this bothers, you know, places, is an enormous problem. Overseas Chinese then, and you know the Chinese are like rice in the wind, so I'll be looking to the mainland rather than to Taiwan. This then presents an enormous intelligence problem for us. It doesn't mean it's insurmountable. It's just another challenge. So I would say this, that the need for intelligence at a time that we have greater communication and greater detente is even greater. Because when you are isolated from one to the other, when there's a wall in effect, that's one thing. But when you have this communication between very great powers where their interests are different, then you can be damn sure they're going to be after every bit of intelligence they can from us, and we've got to play the same with them. What I've seen somebody suggested as I close here is that I've never seen a time when more historians, changes in American and foreign policy might be taking place. I say might be, knowing that none of these things may happen, but believing that some of them may. I also know that as those changes do take place, as we look at the world after Vietnam, which all of us have to do, let us be in a position that we have not been so obsessed with this one corner of the world with this terribly difficult problem, and not so discouraged and frustrated about it that we turn inward, and that we fail to play the great role we need to play in the world. That means that in the intelligence field, in the leadership field, that here, as we build the structure of peace after Vietnam, there is the problem of the Soviet Union, Europe. There's the problem of China and Asia, and not to mention, of course, such other little places like the Middle East. So here again, you come back, what does it do with intelligence? And indeed, of course, it becomes infinitely greater. So that's it.
You have one on it?
Sure.
Now, the difference, if we can do this, this job can be done in 5 years, or it can be done in 2 and 3/4 or 3 years. And the only catalyst that it takes to take it from the 5 years to the 3 years with all the concomitant savings is the catalyst of your saying that you'd like to see it done. And what you get from that is what they call more risk. I don't know what the risk is, really. They get more risk, but you get the